You're listening to Working, the show about what people do all day. I'm your host, Jordan Weissman, and I would like to welcome you back, my lords and ladies, to our continuing series about life at medieval times, the dinner theater company where you can watch knights joust and duel and compete for the affections of the queen. This week, we're going to be talking with Toni Ann Seary. She is the bar manager at the Medieval Times Castle in Lyndhurst, New Jersey. And her job is what it sounds like. She runs the bar at the castle. She is in charge of making sure all the booze is ordered and kept track of, and that every drink order is filled during the show. But as I kind of learned over the course of this episode, she sort of serves as a den mother to her staff, which is basically a very raucous and drama-prone group of wenches. That's, and again, they're called wenches. I hope you enjoy.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's your name and what do you do?
I'm Toni Ann Seary and I'm the bar manager at Medieval Times.
And what is a bar manager? What does it mean to?
I'm the best management in the castle. I'm the bar manager and I make everybody have fun.
So you're the cruise director?
Yeah.
Okay, for the company, for the crowd, for everyone?
For the company.
Yeah.
Pretty much, I think I'm the best.
This is the DJ Khaled episode.
Yeah.
This is the best management.
It is.
Technically, though, you're the one who makes sure the bar runs.
Right.
You oversee the operations. How many people do you have working for you?
I have roughly about 16 right now at the moment.
Okay, those are bartenders or what?
They're bartenders and cocktailers.
Bartenders and cocktailers.
What? So they bartend during the pre-show.
Yeah.
And then they go upstairs and they immediately start cocktailing.
What is cocktailing?
Where they take orders during the show.
Okay.
And then we have the tickets come down, we have a service bar, and then they run their drinks back up.
You've got the assembly line, essentially. Forget everyone and their booze when the show is actually running.
Right.
Okay, so and they're not doing that down at the bar. There's like a special place upstairs for that, or
no? It's all downstairs.
Oh, okay, but the orders are coming down.
Right.
I see. So you're doing the beginning of the shows, and people are showing up. They're kind of hanging out beforehand. How much of Medieval Times' business is, you know, booze sales?
There's a pretty penny being made at our bar, especially. We have a large volume of people, especially Jersey. They love to drink. I don't know what it is. That's pretty much, it's Jersey.
I was to say, what do you mean you don't know?
I do know. I like to drink, so yeah.
It's Jersey.
Yeah.
So this is a big part of the business. It's kind of, well, it's like any entertainment sports thing. Like,
right.
Yeah, it's the concessions.
Right.
So you're managing those people. What else is part of your job?
I do a lot there. I assist in a lot of the management positions there. I help in tower to help the guests get in there.
What's in tower?
So tower is where they get their table cards and they get their seating arrangement and help them get to their seats. Sometimes I'll even assist in crowning, where they give the crowns when they first walk in. I'm pretty much anywhere anybody needs me. I'm a team player, so.
Okay, so you're sort of management by day and then you're also kind of a utility player by
right.
night.
I help anywhere I'm needed.
How long have you been at Medieval Times?
So I've been there 16 years.
16.
This March will be 16 years.
What did you start off as?
I am a retired wench. I started off in gift shop.
Okay.
And then I moved on to photo for about a year, and then I became photo supervisor and then photo manager.
And you were a wench in the...
I was a wench. I wore my costume for 8 years.
For 8 years. And so a wench can be a server, but it can also be the... You can
it's
be a wench in photo.
It's anybody that's pretty much front of the house.
Okay. So any woman who is front of the house is a wench.
Correct.
Interesting. Okay. And so now you are ex-wench.
And I'm an ex-wench. I have my costume hanging on the wall at home. You know.
Do you really?
Yeah. No.
It's like in the closet. Sure.
It's in the closet, yes. But that's, yeah, so I've been there for 16 years.
So how old were you when you started?
I was 17.
Oh, so was this like your first job?
First and only, yeah.
So you've been, this has been your whole career. It's been working your way up and this is your home.
Yeah, 100%. It's literally how I grew up. I met almost everybody in my life there pretty much.
Wow. How'd you arrive? How'd you start working there?
I drove by one day and just said I wanted to be the princess. And one of my friends was like, you should go apply. And then I did. And then I ended up getting hired in gift shop and then moved on to photo and then moved on to bar. And we'll see where else it goes, I guess.
Wait, when you said you wanted to be the princess, were you like kind of half joking?
I was half joking.
Yeah. But someone was like, yeah.
But why? Kind of serious at that point.
Yeah, give it a shot.
Yeah, I mean.
Had you ever been to the show already at that point? Or
only like maybe in like sixth grade I went.
Okay.
Once.
So you passed by the castle and said, yeah, I want to rule the castle.
Yeah. I was like, I'm going to be a princess there. I mean, I was like 100 pounds lighter at that point. So, there's that. So I love working there. It's a great environment.
It seems like this is a pattern I'm hearing. A lot of people sort of work their way up through the organization.
Right.
You guys kind of create career paths for people there.
Yeah, there's a lot of job opportunity to move on, like even going to different castles. Like we have a new castle opening in Arizona come this July. I mean, there's a lot of transfers that can be made and opportunities there. So that's...
So it's like there's kind of a circuit, a medieval times ecosystem, or you got company people moving around.
Like I just went recently to Dallas for a meeting there, and like I just know all of corporate, and it's such like a family type environment to work in. Like I literally know everybody. It's not like there's top people that you don't know. The owners come to the castle all the time. Like I know them from all the years, and they always recognize me. It's really like... It's awesome.
Did you have any sense of that when you started? Like that could actually be a career, or was it just like...
No,
it kind of
was just a summer job. And then I actually, they made me work my first New Year's Eve, and I was upset that it wasn't time and a half. So I quit because I missed the ball drop and I quit. I mean,
yeah, I'd be pissed too.
I was kind of pissed, but I had already got my friend a job there. So maybe 6 months later I went, or like a year later, I went to a party with her that was for medieval times, and my ex-manager was like, you can always come back. And then I came back and here I am 16 years later. So I've actually been there even longer because I applied when I was 16, and then I went back when I was mid 17.
Yeah. Have you worked any New Year since?
I worked every New Year since.
You know, that's honestly, that doesn't sound so bad. New Year's
it's
is
actually
so,
not. And
so overrated.
It is.
And you're hanging out with, you're watching people like, I mean, is there like a special New Year's Eve show or anything?
Yeah, they have like a ball drop and it's really cool, actually.
Do they try to spear it or?
No, they have like the knights go up and they do a whole balloon drop thing there, and it's fun.
Yeah.
I've just been there so long, it's become natural to me. Weekends, holidays, I get out of a lot of doing stuff. So I miss a lot of birthday parties and everything. I'm like, I got to work. Sorry.
Yeah. But
it's a double-edged sword.
Yeah, there's a little bit of a sacrifice there, but you like it.
I love it, yeah.
Now you're the bar manager.
Right.
How would you describe the big buckets of your responsibilities? Is it like ordering alcohol? Is it people management? Like, what are the major components of your job?
It's pretty much everything. So I order from like 10 different vendors, like some of the glassware that we have that are very similar. You order from at least 3 different vendors for the same glassware.
Interesting.
Just because of the different pricing and what you need to do. Like liquor comes from different, 2 different vendors. Beer comes from 2 different vendors. It's all about the brand and where you need to get it from.
The glassware, you're talking about like those custom, the steins that say medieval times on them. So you're responsible for getting all of that into the,
yes,
to the bar.
Everything that is in behind that bar, I'm responsible to get that inventory in.
Okay, so you're managing that part of it. Then you're also dealing with all the wholesalers.
And then I deal with, my whole staff. I have the 16 staff, which,
We'll get to that.
Yeah. So, there's that. But no, we, so I deal with, just scheduling, and my assistant helps me out a lot with all of that because it's an intense business to run the bar part of it.
You're running a bar. Like that is sort of like there is a bar here at this place, and you're the bar manager. It's not quite owning it because your money isn't on the line, but you're running the place.
Right.
So how much of your day is then dealing with just like, I mean, how much of it is like in a chair in the office?
I would say probably about an hour to an hour and a half prior to doors opening. Yeah.
And what are you doing in the office?
Just taking in any orders that come in. They come in throughout the week. So I need to, put those through the computer, make sure our inventory is all matched up and everything like that. Everything in our bar is inventoried down to the T. So
you're making sure none of the alcohol is disappearing kind of thing. Is that a problem ever for like, do you guys have...
We service 1,300 people sometimes a show, so a little, there's going to be spillage and there's going to be some off, but I mean, you got to account for some of that.
Because the classic thing, I always hear from people who run bars is you got a problem with like your servers, their friends come over and they decide to give them a bunch of free drinks. Is that like the kind of thing that ever happens or you have to worry about?
I mean, you always have to worry about it. They're pretty good on, can I have my family's coming? Can I have like one round on us? So like, I'm pretty good with, as long as they're like not jerks about it, but I'm pretty good with it. I don't want to say that. But as long as they're not like, you know, expecting, I always try to accommodate them just so their family has fun and they enjoy working there.
Yeah, it's sort of, it's like a little bit of a bonus to keep everyone happy. So you're, I guess you're like doing spreadsheets almost. You're making sure that, is that like kind of how you keep track of stuff or is it?
Yeah, we have, well, we have this new system. So it's like pretty much keeps, pulls every, even the recipes come straight out of the computer. So everything we're bringing in comes directly out of our inventory.
So that keeps track of exactly how much alcohol has to go into each recipe.
So in a 20-ounce cup, it has to, like that amount comes out. So you have to pour. We use jiggers. It has to be like to the point.
Oh, interesting. So if the, like the point of sale system, you put in, I guess, like what's a cocktail you guys serve? What cocktails are big there?
We do a, like a Dragon Slayer.
What's a Dragon Slayer?
It's a mango, frozen mango and Malibu.
Okay. That's... So. You know, it's we're laughing. It sounds good.
I know. Well, in New Jersey, we can't serve, or in medieval times in general, but in New Jersey especially, we can't do anything over 3 ounces of alcohol in a drink.
Okay.
So usually a normal 12-ounce gets about a 1.5 pour, one and a half shot, and then...
So a Dragon Slayer goes into the system and it...
And that, it will pull that shot and that amount of mix that comes out.
And says that's exactly how much it needs to be. And if that's... And that goes into the tally.
Yes.
Okay.
So that's how we... Our inventory. But sometimes, you know, they pour too much pineapple instead of orange, it's going to be a little off.
But like you're looking for like big discrepancies.
Right. Beer is like our bigger discrepancy because there's a lot of... You know, if you need to like... They're doing quick beer.
Yeah.
You know, they're the foam or... Overpour. On the beer. Yeah.
Are you watching to make sure no one's stealing stuff, essentially? Is that kind
of... I mean, that's my job, yeah. Yeah. So pretty much that's what I am. I'm like the bouncer at the bar, but, you know, they need to have fun, but I'm also watching to see if, you know, you always have to stay a step ahead of the game. And
yeah.
So that's pretty much what I do.
You got to make sure no employees are taking anything and also that no, and that the customers aren't. So, okay. So that's like what you're doing behind the scenes. You're making sure all the numbers pan out.
Right.
Were you someone who like kind of saw yourself doing that sort of a job? Like, you know, kind of being the person with the green eye shades, pencil.
I was kind of nervous going in because my GM was like, you know, when the bar management position became available, you know, she was like, is this something you would want to do? And I'm like, I don't know. I kind of feel like she does a lot of, they do a lot of reports and paperwork and ordering. And I'm not like, you know, not really into that. And she's like, look, you have like a really good personality to do bartending and actually bartended outside of there too. And she was like, you know, your personality brings up morale, like everybody, you're a team builder. So I ended up doing it and I turned the team, like they're awesome. And
do you get behind the bar yourself?
I do. So service bar, it's inevitable. Like there's no way. During a 1300 show, we have roughly like 300 tickets coming out of that, up to 300 tickets coming out of that to be made. And it's not one drink per ticket. It's like 7 drinks per ticket. And they have Maiden's Kiss, like Oracle. It's all these different...
There's no...
And what glass they're going in, because we have like 20 different glasses.
No one's... Wait, Oracle, Maiden's Kiss, Dragon Slayer. What are some of the other cocktails you got going?
We just have your normal pina colada. Okay, we do have our normal. We have a full service bar. So.
Yeah. So you've got a few of regular drinks coming in, but it's all these... You've got... So like 2,100 drinks in a... Or
there's just so many drinks. And it's great because our bar is awesome and we rock it. But it's a lot of drinks.
Yeah,
so there's no way I can't get behind that bar at that point.
Yes, and all 16 people, they're not all working on a given night, are they?
No, so yeah, like if we have a sold out show, they pretty much are.
Okay.
And then we have them, then they go up in cocktail, and then we also have arena, some of our arena servers come down, and they'll run drinks for us in between shows and help the drinks get to the guest seat quick.
But you're just slinging cocktails and pouring beers as fast as humanly possible.
That's pretty much what it is, yeah.
And you're just down there. You're in the mines.
I'm in the weeds. I'm in the weeds with them.
You're in the trenches.
Yeah,
you're in the trenches. That's really...
Yeah.
Well, everyone...
It's pretty much what I know.
This podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity, much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save nearly $800 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary.
So you start your day, you're behind, you're doing the spreadsheeting, you're making sure no one's stolen anything, all the cocktails add up to the right amount that's actually been taken out. And then as the day goes, that's when you're actually, then you get behind the
bar. Then you're behind the bar and you're helping anywhere you can. Sometimes I'm up in the arena just, you know, seeing if any guests need help.
When you're behind the bar and you're dealing with customers, you bartended outside of medieval times. How would you say it compares to bartending at medieval times versus bartending, you know, somewhere else in Jersey?
I'd say it's a little different. If they're listening to me out there, no, I'm just I mean, at a normal bar, like a, you know, a dive bar, you can kind of like curse, do whatever you want, you know, like pour over 3 ounces of alcohol and, you know, you have your locals come in, you could charge them differently. Like medieval times is very standard. Like you need to have that amount, that price. There's no like give there. So I feel like that's the difference. Like it's very...
You got to be a little corporate.
Yeah, and we don't have regulars that come into the bar area every day just to drink, you know, a $26 beer or like $8 beer at our place. Like we have, they're rough, but they don't come in every day. So
Wait, so you do have some regulars, you said?
We have some that come once a year, but we don't have regulars like at a normal dive bar where like you would have somebody come in to have a beer every day.
You don't have like, you know, Tim showing up every day after
so
work.
Guests
like
that come in, you know, they're new, they don't know the pricing, so we all, you have to be very standard to them.
Are you interacting with guests much? Are you like, is there much chatting or is it more just kind of, is it just the volume is so much you just got to get down to business?
They interact because they have to, because we are a retail bar at the end of the day and we, you know, we love to sell the upgraded cups and guests love to bring those home to their families, so they do have to interact with them. Plus we have so many different drinks on the menus, but it becomes hard because they need to, like, roughly we say 3 minutes, you have 3 minutes to handle each guest.
Okay, 3 minutes, that's more than I would have thought.
So
part of it's upselling them though on the cup,
right?
That's a big part of it.
So we have an $8 beer, we have a $26 beer. So
okay. And the $26 beer, the difference is the amount of beer, the size of the, what's the?
It's a 32-ounce beer.
Okay.
Or a 20-ounce beer.
Okay.
So, but you also get to keep the cup, and then refills, if you're planning on drinking a couple after that, refills go down to $7 to $8. So
what's the strategy for getting me to buy the 32-ounce?
That's pretty much it. You get to bring this home, and also refills are $7, $8. So, you know, and just, you're getting a little bit more beer.
Product sells itself.
Yeah.
More beer.
Yeah, more beer. It's pretty much what we got. Beer is our number one seller.
Yeah.
It's pretty much
standard. What's the top cocktail?
I would say the Royal Knight.
The Royal Knight.
It has...
Is it the name that sells that, or is it actually, do you think it's the cocktail?
It has more alcohol. So it has Bacardi, Smirnoff, a little bit of cherry brandy.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much what sells. It's Bacardi. Like a Long Island with the amount of alcohol. You know, you see, look, everybody, they go out, orders a Long Island because they think they're going to get more drunk quick.
Yeah.
So they ordered the Royal Knight because they're like, we're going to get drunk.
Yeah. That's, I was going to say, it's the tri-state area, of course.
This is... It's me. No.
This is your personal strategy.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're there, you're slinging drinks while the show's going on, and then things wrap up, I guess. And then what happens then?
Well, if it's a Thursday night, I go right out after.
You go out?
Yeah. we call it Tony Thursday.
Tony Thursday?
Yeah.
is that like drinks on you at the bar, or what is that?
No,
or just like, I just dragging everyone out to the bar?
Yeah, we just kind of all, it just became Tony Thursday, and we just all end up just going out after. And we have our favorite bartender, one of our favorite bartenders at a local bar, so we all head over there.
Yeah, for the after party.
Yeah.
Okay. What about people management? What are the challenges that come up when you're dealing with managing the bartending staff, the medieval times staff?
They're great. They're awesome, but they're also in high school, a lot of them.
Okay. Not the bartenders.
The bartenders, yeah. So, or they're in college, early college. They just got out of high school, rather.
So they're too young to drink, but they're in...
But they can still bartend.
They can still bartend.
18 years old, they can start bartending.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Huh.
I don't know if that's a New Jersey thing. Maybe. But they have to... Be 18, they can get their bar license.
Okay.
And they can start serving alcohol.
So you got a bunch of 18-year-olds serving
Yeah. And they're great. They're great. I love them all. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, it's just like high school. So they have their drama. This one said this to one, and this one said this on, like...
Wait, give me a little more. What's this? Like, what's...
Just like, you know, like this person... What can I say? This person took my dollar tip, or, you know, or just like, or this person was talking about me outside of the castle. And I'm like, I don't.
the drama.
It's like anything outside, leave it there. Like this is my main speech to them, is like, we are family here. We work so much. I see you more than I see my own family. Like, I love you all, but yeah. Like, you cannot have this much drama because we have to look at each other every day.
Yeah. I guess you got a bunch of employees who are, you know, they're 18. Like, 18-year-olds do dumb shit.
I know. I know what it was like to work there at 18, so yeah. It's even more amazing to me.
Do you ever have a problem with like employees trying to sneak alcohol or things like that?
No, they're pretty good with that, actually.
Okay, because they know, I imagine that would get them fired.
I mean, yeah, and then they probably just go get drunk after, I don't know. But they're pretty good at work.
Fair enough. Go get drunk, have your drama at home, whatever.
Yeah. Whatever you want to do after you get out of here, I don't care.
Yeah.
I love them, but I only care for these hours at work.
But so you have a bunch of wenches that you kind of oversee.
Right.
What's like the interaction between your staff and like the knights and all that? Like all the other parts of the crew?
They're good. Everybody gets along. Sometimes, you know, you find out the knight's dating this wench and you're just like, oh Lord, because you know there's going to be drama ahead somewhere.
Yeah. Is that like a common thing, like knight-wench relationships?
Yeah, pretty. Like everybody works together so much that, yeah. You know, I mean, it's company policy not to date within the company,
but you're
dealing with a bunch with 18-year-olds and yeah. And they're around, they're literally, you know, we give up our week, we're there on our weekends and we're there, you know.
Yeah.
So
yeah, you're in the army together.
Yeah, we're all there. So yeah. I mean, it's bound to happen.
It sounds almost a little bit Den Mom-ish. Like that is like, I don't mean like that. It's just like, it's in.
No,
like,
I kind of am, yes.
You have to, or like kind of dorm mom.
I like
or,
to say like I'm their therapist.
A lot of their therapists. Yeah. Like there's a little bit of, I mean, like what is the age range of your employees? Like,
So mine are around 18 to, I would say, 28.
Okay. So there is, you do have
my lead is, you know, older. She's been there for also 10 years with me. And
so you're not alone. You're not surrounded by a bunch of like early college age kids entirely. But,
no. But there's just a difference. Yeah. So I have to have fun with my staff because they are younger and they are giving up their weekends and, you know, and this is, they're going to go to college and do other things. So I want to have fun with them while they're here. I don't want to make them miss out on things. So I'm pretty good with giving them days off and dealing with them.
And maybe turning a blind eye once in a while if a wench and a knight are starting a fling.
It's whatever just, they're doing, let them do it. I just don't want to be a part of it. That's pretty much what I do. I'm like, okay.
What's the most fun part about your job?
I would say just the people in general. I'd say I love going to work. My general manager is awesome. Mm-hmm. I stay with the company strictly on even corporate or present, like everyone. I personally have a lot of reasons why I stay for the people and what they've stood behind for me.
Stood behind in what sense?
Just like certain things. Like my daughter fell when she was one and our president of our company contacted me from Mexico like to make sure she was okay. There's just
little
a lot of that. Love in the company where they...
The president was in... He was in Mexico.
He was on vacation and he made sure to call me and just see how my daughter was. And
when you say fell, what do you mean by?
She had just started walking and she fell and she had like a certain part of her head that made her pass out. And she woke up immediately. But so he got word of it all the way in Mexico and made sure he called me to make sure it was good.
Oh, wow.
So there's stuff like that that just sticks with me throughout the years. And
little gestures like that make a big difference in your workplace.
So for me, I respect the company and that's why I haven't left. And they've always been great to me.
I mean, is there anything else that like you could imagine yourself to? You've been here for so long. Like, what else would you... Could you see yourself?
I mean, eventually, I guess my path would always, you know, aspire to then be operations manager and eventually GM if anybody's listening. I'm just kidding. But, you know, that's what you, when you're in this position for this long, you obviously always want to keep continuing to try to move up to the top. And
yeah,
that's just pretty much what I do. And
as you've kind of gone through it, you're learning more and more about how the whole thing
works. Over this past, year, I would say, like, we change operations managers and we lost a lot of management, whether they transferred to another castle or they went to a different part of the team. Like some of them went to marketing where they were like big in our front of the house. Mm-hmm. And so I had to learn a lot in that transition. So I've learned a lot more operational stuff. So that's really great for me. And just, you know, I'll put my name out there, let them know that I'm always wanting to move forward and up. You always want to go up.
up higher in the castle.
Yeah. It's pretty much the way I want to go.
You mentioned that you often have to work as sort of a bouncer to some extent when you're down there at the bar. What is the sort of behavior that you see from customers that might get you bounced?
So it could be any show, but it's usually our last show on Saturday, you know, because you got everybody that comes in that wants to then go out afterwards, start 8 o'clock show. So you got the party buses that come in and everybody that's already like hammered before they even walk through the door. So there's been sometimes I've had to flag people from drinking while they're taking their pictures because they're all in one area. So I have to walk down and like totally cut them off already.
Yeah.
Because I can't put any of my bartenders in that situation.
Because you're serving someone who's going to get belligerent, or is it like just, you know, they're going to be
Well, we have a dram shop, Laura, in New Jersey. So if you are really drunk and you come to my establishment, the last establishment you leave is the one that gets blamed for if you crash your car or anything.
Okay.
I have to be, and it becomes very hard for us because of the fact of you've been up there, but the dark arena, you can't see everybody once you're up there.
Yeah.
So you have to be very aware, and that's why you're like all my bartenders are tip certified trained. They know what to look for if anybody's like totally intoxicated.
And you're also serving 32-ounce beers. So that could,
right.
You know, someone could be mildly drunk at the start, right. And then that could send them if you're not careful.
Plus it's a family show. So we want you to have fun, and we do want to serve you 32-ounce beers, but we want you to have fun, and we want the families around you to have fun. And it's not good when you're this drunk guy who had your first beer and you're up drinking and you're screaming curse words at the nights. And that happens a lot, actually.
They realize it's pretend, right?
I think some of them get too drunk and then they don't realize. But I mean, I've had to kick, you know, some grown men out. Sometimes, yeah.
What's that interaction like?
Well, luckily we have the police officer there, so I kind of feel like super tough walking up there because I'm like, you know, you need to sit down, or like you have to get out. And I have the police officer behind me. I think it's me that scares them, but it's probably not.
Yeah.
It's probably the cop that's behind me.
It might be you.
I'm a little scary.
I was just saying, like, you're laying down the law.
Yeah, I'm a little scary.
Because it is. It's like it's full of kids. It's half kids, it seems like.
Right.
But there are people who are just going to get trashed at the family entertainment, and they don't care.
Yeah, they don't care. And also, I mean, I'm a pre-gamer by all means. So, but they are like, some of them come in like totally pre-gamed. And I'm like,
yeah, well, it is this interesting mix also, because you've got the kids and their families, but then you also have like the 20 and 30 somethings who are having a birthday party or whatever.
Right.
So that's an odd combo.
It's super weird. And it's really hard.
Yeah, to kind of manage that, right?
Yeah, it's really hard.
Yeah.
And I mean, you have your bachelor parties that go there. So,
yeah. Are the bachelor parties the best or the worst?
I just feel bad for them because, that's where you chose to have your bachelor. No, it's right.
But,
they get rowdy. It depends on the scene. But it's usually our later shows where people are trying to, you know, have a good night for their birthday and then go out after. And
Yeah.
It's nothing we can ever handle. We always, and everybody's on top of it. So
what's the worst behavior you've seen?
Everybody standing up and, you know, drunk guys like trying to go down towards the sand, and
people actually,
like, they get out of their seats with their flags and they're like, you know, you're not good, Red Knight. And you're just like, all right, please sit down. I mean,
it's like a hockey game.
When I started, you're
banging the plexiglass.
Yeah, that's pretty much. Sometimes it gets like that. And you're like, all right, please sit down. When I first started, I was, you know, going with the flags, and this guest, he threw a piece of garlic bread at me. And was like, get out of my way. And I'm like, this isn't really medieval times. Like, you can't treat women that way. Like, but he threw
did
like
he call
a
you
piece
wench?
Of garlic bread at me. I'm like, geez.
Did you get
yeah.
hit?
Yeah. Yeah. They're a little ruthless.
That's
sometimes.
Awful.
I mean.
Wow. So people.
I mean, guests get into it.
They let loose. They think they really are.
And everybody's so like, you know, they don't have the winning night. They're super disappointed.
Do they really?
Our
night won. Yeah, he was a good guy in the end. Yeah, so okay, I don't know the feel. I've never lost.
Well, yeah.
Aside from just like, you know, standard kind of loudish stuff, is there any other like weird behavior you sometimes see in the crowd or like from the people who come? Or
we do have like this one return guest, and actually after talking to other management in the company, they always have like this one person that does return all the time, and she comes and she is always in like dressed up to the nine, like with whatever costume. Like sometimes she dresses as Belle.
Belle?
Yeah, like from Beauty and the Beast.
Oh.
Like she'll dress in like very like,
yeah.
Like with the big hula hoop type, like Renaissance dresses. And I don't even know how she's going to fit in her seat type of dresses. She's comes a lot.
A lot. But that lot. Well, that seems harmless though. That seems okay. Like that could be a lot. Like that's just you're shaking your head. Okay.
she comes a lot.
Okay. There's someone she's might be a little too. Okay, a little into it.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll leave it there.
She's into it.
Like there's good regular if you're there like for an annual event or something like that. Yeah. Your kid's birthday party or something regularly.
Then we have
nightly or every week it might be a little bit much.
Yes.
If you're coming in costume. Okay.
Yes. Then we have our return guest, Ronnie. He is like autistic.
Oh.
And he's actually I think he's 35 now, but he's been coming since he's little, and there was a long period of time where he didn't come at all.
Okay.
And it's pretty much like very little can his parents get him to go somewhere.
Yeah.
And he started coming back around seven to 10 years ago. One of the princesses kept going outside and meeting him. And then we finally got him in. They come every Sunday.
Oh, wow.
They also come to all of our events, like our Christmas party and our holiday party rather. And
see, that's sweet.
Their family's awesome, and they come to everything for us, and every Sunday they come.
For an autistic guy, if that's what unlocks him.
Yeah, he loves it.
That's great. So you've been doing this for 16 years.
Mm-hmm.
The performance, do you still like watch the performance?
I actually went to the show on Tuesday.
Oh, yeah?
My daughters, they like it. Well, my two-year-old, she loves it.
Yeah.
Now, all of a sudden, she was just loved the tomato soup and was sucking it down like crazy. It was an amazing video I took. but my 10-year-old daughter, she loves it there. She's been going since she's a baby. She can literally show you around the whole establishment. But so I do watch it.
Yeah.
More because of my children. But I do. And then sometimes I enjoy going to the arena. And we have the new show with the Queen. And that was really nice to watch. And I love getting a new show in.
How often do you get a new show in again?
Every 3 to 5 years.
Okay. So after a while, you get to, you know it. And
you start just like saying it by heart. More because I'm downstairs a lot. I know... Because I am Queen here, and I say that constantly just because I think I'm the queen.
Is that what you tell your colleagues?
I tell everybody.
I am the queen
sometimes
here.
Sometimes I put the cape on, and I'm like, I am queen here. everybody hates me.
I like that as a management strategy. You just show up.
That's what I do. But
just caped.
I guess I watch it.
In costume. I mean, I was going to say, but after a while, you get kind of inured to it because it is the same show most nights.
Yeah. Like a lot of guests that come in, like, who's winning? And, you know, of course, like, it's choreographed. So
choreographed.
There you go.
Yeah.
And, you know, so we obviously know, like, but, like, after a while, you're like, you don't really care anymore. Not that you don't care, but you don't have time to, like, think about who's winning in the show, like, because I'm so busy doing other things. And I'm like, I don't know. So you just say, you know, they don't tell me anymore or else I'm going to take bets, you know, stuff like that to them.
But, do people ever gamble? I'm sure like people have to show up and gamble on it once in a while.
I'm sure. I don't know. I've never done it.
You made a face. Like, I promise, I've never once gambled on. That would be odd though. Maybe the first time the show goes.
I mean, so you get used to it after a while.
But your kids still love it. So my
kids love it. Actually, I met my boyfriend recently at the show.
Oh, really?
Yeah. he was a guest with his children and. He was like, you know, he lost his car key. And then he was like, how can I get to sit in the winning section? Like, please, I'm constantly bringing my kids here. Like, I can never. And I always give my cell phone because I just do it. So I'm like, okay, like, just take my number down. And, you know, he was recently divorced. And then the kid that was sitting next to me, he's like, he's going to text you, like, soon. I'm like, no. And then he ended up texting me, not about the winning night. He could care less about that. It was about me. And here we are. So it worked out for the best.
I love that the kid was like...
he's like, he's going to text you.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, he's not. He's like, I bet you 20 minutes. I'm like, sure.
That's a very rom-com thing. Like the knowing child just being like...
it was so weird, but...
piping up, being like, no, we know how this plot... I know how this plot line's going to work out.
Hollywood, I didn't. I was like, come on, get out of here. Like,
Hollywood
just
has taught me anything. So this really is like a... I mean, I keep hearing it kind of described as a family affair, but you're not kidding. this has been a fun chat. Thank you for coming in.
You're welcome.
That's it for this week's episode of Working. I hope you enjoyed the show. If you did, leave us a review at Apple Podcasts. Otherwise, you can send me an email at working@slate.com. You can tell me anything you want about what you think about this show. Hell, it doesn't even have to be about the show. You can just email me. Say hi. Tell me what's on your mind. I'm all ears. Anyway, Working is produced by Jessamine Molly. A special thank you to Justin D. Wright for the ad music. I'll catch you next week.